six, five. Man lost it on the way in. Ball knocked away. Relaford at two. Launches it. Midcourt. Buzzer. No!
Stewart on Tide
99.1. Oh, we are indeed in the midst of March Madness. And we are very, very glad that we can talk about it with our first guest of the second hour. He is TJ Reeves from Fox Sports Radio. Mr. Reeves, how are things today?
I am great. And I have said this to you privately, and I don't know that I've said it to you on the air. That is an all-time call right there, brother. If that doesn't get you in the mood for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, that is vintage March Madness-type call there from Christopher Stewart. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. And all that did was get us to the NIT, but it felt good at the time.
They will play that highlight on your station and elsewhere for Alabama basketball, though, probably forever. I'll say probably forever.
I appreciate it very much. I don't want to downplay Trevor Relaford's contribution to all of that as well, though.
Yeah, I think he had the hard part. Yeah,
I think he did as well.
Kind of like, here's a segue. Kind of like West Virginia tonight. They kind of have the hard part, don't they? With everybody talking about who's going to beat Kentucky, now it's West Virginia's turn.
So, do you like them or not?
No, they don't have enough size. I mean, just flat out, they don't have enough size. That's going to be an issue. Kentucky does take very good care of the basketball. And I think at this point, just from what I've seen in the last 24 to 48 hours, the Kentucky guys, in particular their fan base, but the guys specifically, are sick of hearing about 2010 and how West Virginia beat a completely different Kentucky team, a completely different West Virginia team, beat a completely different Kentucky team 5 years ago. So I think they're highly motivated for a lot of reasons, including that. They're sick of hearing that. So will West Virginia hang with them? Yes, probably, for a lot of this game. Will they be able to create some turnovers? Probably. Will it be enough? No, it will not. Kentucky will be 37-0.
Not 36-1, as the youngster from Morgantown tried to say, huh?
Well, and what do you expect them to say when they're being asked about that? That we don't think we're going to win. We don't think we're going to beat them. We're just going to be a footnote here as one of the teams that lost at 37-0. I mean, of course they're going to say they're going to be 36-1. I kind of like,
I'm so glad you phrased it that way.
Would you want players, Chris, on your team, any fan base now, that would say publicly, we're not sure if we can beat Kentucky tomorrow night when they're asked about it? We're not sure if we can stop them from being undefeated? I don't think anybody would want that.
Well, TJ, you went with the key point right there. When people read this, when they hear this, they act as if this kid called a press conference in order to say, we're going to beat Kentucky. No, he's sitting at a press conference and gets asked the question. That's all it is in response to a question. It's not like he just went running up and down the street buck naked with a sign above his head that says, hey, we're going to beat Kentucky. Although that would have been rather newsworthy had he done that.
It would have been, that way. Yeah, you're right.
All right. Greg Marshall coaches at Wichita State. You may have heard of him.
Yes, I have.
Let's go with the task at hand first.
Matter of fact, he's coaching tonight, if I'm correct.
He is indeed. So let's take with part one of this. Should he so choose to look at other jobs, will he be available to do so by probably 10:30 Central or Eastern time tonight?
Well, there's a couple of things that are underlying in your question. There's openings, obviously, in a couple of places prominently, including in the market where you are. And the fans need to understand, if they don't already, and you do a great job of explaining it, and I explain this as much as I can, whether on Fox Sports Radio, TuneIn Radio, wherever, these kind of deals are being done through third parties, through agents, through search firms, through a friend of a friend of a friend. Greg Marshall has already talked indirectly to Alabama through his people, and Alabama's already talked to Greg Marshall indirectly through his people, one way or the other. So to think that it is somehow, you know, going to be green-lighted tonight, and that would be the first time that any conversation has been had. These conversations have been going on for the last week and a half since Alabama's job came open. So, and it goes on all over college, major college football and college basketball with third-party contact, and again, search firms and agents and those kind of things. And I would have to believe he's going to be willing to listen. He's going to probably listen to Arizona State. And I'll tell you, another one to watch, it hasn't happened yet at Indiana, but if something happens with Tom Crean and Indiana's available, Greg Marshall would also probably be on their radar as well. So to answer your question, I think he's been listening to everybody and will listen to everybody, and we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see.
Let me ask you, before we go, back on this deal, because we can play the speculation game on that, but you mentioned Indiana, and should something happen there, do you think that Indiana may be doing what Scott Strickland apparently did at Mississippi State? And I've known Scott a very long time and have right. as much respect for him as any administrator in athletics that I know. But he made a very shrewd business deal that rubbed some people the wrong way. But he went out and basically asked, apparently, Ben Hallen, you're available. You're the guy we want. We're not going to make a change unless you tell me you'll take the job.
Right.
Will you come to Starkville? He said yes. And Rick Ray, 3 years, we appreciate the effort. And yeah, you're better, but you're not good enough, and you're not Ben Hallen. So they right. made that move. Do you think Indiana might be doing something similar here?
Maybe so. And of course, Tom Crean's name is also being linked to the Alabama job as a possibility if he were to leave on his own or if he were to be fired. And look, it's a two-way street, the point that you're making, because coaches do the same thing where they say to their school, I love you, I want to be here, I want to be your coach, and at the same time, wait a minute, my cell phone's got a different area code ringing in here, and suddenly somebody's interested, and I've got third-party people talking, and now I've got a job offer. So, a perfect example of that, Steve Alford, who is at UCLA now, he gets eliminated from the NCAA tournament 2 years ago at this time, coaching at New Mexico. He proceeds to agree to a 10-year contract extension to stay at New Mexico. They have the press conference, Chris, and everything, where he is saying in the press conference, this is where I want to be. This is where I'm going to be for a long, long time. You know, we love it here. That's why I'm signing this extension. And days later, I believe 3 or 4 days later, he is standing at Pauley Pavilion at a press conference as UCLA's coach after doing all of that. And there are still hard feelings at New Mexico because of how that went down. And my point is, it goes on both ways. What Strickland did to land Ben Hallen will be viewed, I'm sure, by a lot of coaches and by some as being shady or unethical, or how do you do that to your current coach? But by the same token, if Dan Mullen, hypothetically, at Mississippi State were to have taken off and taken another job without telling Mississippi State first, this is what I'm about to do, you'd have to live with it. You'd be stuck, according to his contract. So it is a two-way street on this. And I don't know that Indiana at this point now is going to get rid of Tom Crean. I think if they were going to, they probably would have already done so. Might he leave for another job, including potentially the Alabama job? That may still be in the cards here in the next few days. Stay tuned.
Sounds to me like you're hearing stuff, and I'm not asking you to divulge sources or anything, but from what you're hearing, and again, you're out of market, but you're very well plugged in. Give me a pecking order of what you're hearing Alabama's search looks like from the people you talk to nationally.
Insight into exactly what Alabama would or wouldn't be doing, but they realize in this instance you got to hit a home run. Now, what's also interesting is that Murray State is now out of the NIT after the last second loss last night. I believe this is just me talking. I know the position you're in outside the market. Steve Prohm. Prohm is an excellent choice and would do a great job and has connections to the program. And you better believe there's probably already been third-party contact with him about his interest level in that job. So I think that is in play. Is that the only thing in play? No, but I think that is in play as well. And, you know, other than that, I think Alabama's got to decide, are we going the mid-major route with an established mid-major guy? Are we trying to go for the brass ring guy, somebody like Crean, or somebody with a huge name, you know, like Mississippi State did with Ben Howland? In the Howland instance, though, he was having trouble getting hired a year ago. There are stains there from what went on at UCLA with how he handled himself and with his players and problems, and Mississippi State was willing to bite the bullet on that. So the answer to your question is, I think Steve Prohm is very much in this from the outside. I know from people that know him, he has an affinity for that Alabama job. That does not mean that he's going to be the coach, but it's just interesting. Keep an eye on that name now that they're eliminated from the NIT.
TJ, I'll tell you this. I've been hearing for, you know, ever since the move was made to replace Anthony Grant, and it became clear that Greg Marshall was going to be the top priority. I've said on every interview I've done, I've said it on this show, that if it falls to Steve Prohm, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, but if it does wind up being the head coach at a mid-major at Murray State, who does happen to have ties like he does to Alabama, I'm fine with it being Steve Prohm, because everything I'm told from people that knew him in Tuscaloosa and those that have known him since, he's a tremendous coach and would do a fantastic job and would be a great fit at Alabama. So that excites me. At the same time, it excites me that Alabama is not starting there. And again, that's not a slight to Coach Prohm by any means, but it says to me, we're going to start at the top with the job, with the guy that if there is an opening at Indiana, they're going to try and lure, or they're going to want to talk to. The opening at UCLA, they had interest in Greg Marshall. Other jobs, big jobs, perceived better jobs than Alabama, have pursued him, but that is not stopping Alabama from at least making a run at the guy. And again, you can't force somebody to take your job, and you can't just throw money and guarantee that they're going to take it. But
that's right.
I am glad that at least Alabama has identified one of the best in the nation, and that's who they want to pursue first. And if you don't get him, so be it.
Well, it's also interesting, and different athletic directors do this differently. It's also interesting the way they go about it, and are you using a search firm or not? And the reason I say that, and I don't, and you may know in the specific case with Bill Battle, if he's going about it himself, with some other influence or input, or if he is actually going the search firm route. I don't actually know which it is in that case. But with these search firms, with the third party contact, it's amazing who suddenly is interested or is available. The Alford example is a great example, that he was suddenly on their radar even days after that news conference. But this is the same way. Trent Johnson is a great example. He's at Stanford back now seven years ago. He's at Stanford with no connection to LSU whatsoever. And yet through search firm and third-party contact, Joe Oliva became aware that Trent Johnson was interested, met with him, and he wasn't on anybody's list, on anybody's radar. But this is sometimes how these things come about, and suddenly Trent Johnson's the new coach at LSU. I remember being at that Final Four in San Antonio, and I actually interviewed Trent Johnson, and they had been beaten in the Sweet 16 at Stanford, and he was talking about the guys he had coming back and all these different things. 3 days later, he's the LSU coach, Chris, is my point, yeah, from out
exactly.
of the blue. So you don't know sometimes who ends up being part of search firm third-party contact that we don't even know that name maybe right now that may end up being Alabama's coach. That's a maybe.
Who do you like, Wichita State, Notre Dame?
Give me Wichita State. I'm rooting for the Stories tonight. Wichita
yeah.
State rematching Kentucky with a chance to end their perfect season after Wichita State was 35-0 last year, playing Kentucky in the second round. And there is no substitute for having guys that have been there repeatedly, like Wichita State has, with Baker, Van Vliet, Tekale Cotton, three of their best players who have now played in a Final Four 2 years ago, a couple of NCAA tournament games last year, a couple more this year. I think, and Notre Dame had a lot of trouble with Northeastern and nearly lost to Butler in the overtime game. Give me Wichita State tonight. So I like that storyline for the rematch with Kentucky.
All right. I want to, and I'm bouncing all over the place. We're talking to TJ Reeves, Fox Sports Radio, also the website sec14.com. He's got a, not a webcast, help me.
It's actually an internet radio show.
Internet radio show. I'll start. Podcast is what I meant to go with.
That's right.
I'm sorry that you got up talking about the tournament in detail.
The new world we live in. TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app, and we have a channel that's called Road to Indianapolis. We tried to come up with the most clever name possible, so that's what we came up with, Road to Indianapolis, pretty original. That is the name of the channel, and we are doing live previews on that channel for the next 4 days of the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, and then we will be live on that channel from the Final Four and Radio Row in Indianapolis next week. So thank you for the plug on that, for the March Madness and the fun on the Road to Indianapolis there on TuneIn.
Again, forgive me for bouncing all over on this, but there are other places besides Alabama that are searching for head coaches. Mark Price going to Charlotte. Arizona State apparently wants Jeff Capel replacing Herb Sendak. You've got
That Arizona State job, that is a very intriguing job in the Pac-12. They have some basketball.
It's Tempe, Arizona, for crying out loud. Yeah, it's intriguing.
Yeah, I mean you're the second fiddle to the team that's playing tonight in Los Angeles, and you know that going in, but there's a ton of money there. And there's a ton of money in Alabama too. And I'll give you another one. I don't know if Texas has made a full decision on whether they keep Rick Barnes or not. And there might be a move made there. If that's an opening, that's a huge job in the Big 12. And we were talking about Crean in Indiana. So the carousel, you know, always around Final Four time, starting middle of next week, it gets really crazy with the coaching carousel. So let's just see. And especially as you mentioned, now, I mean, let's say hypothetically that Greg Marshall does take a job somewhere. Say Wichita State loses, Greg Marshall does take a job. Wichita State's a very attractive job. And somebody's looking to jump to that job and creates another opening, depending on who it is. So welcome to this time of year when the carousel cranks up. But, yeah, there are some jobs that are out there that are going to be very interesting, including Indiana and Texas may be on the radar.
Okay, last thing. And it's kind of back to the point of the Steve Alford thing with New Mexico we talked about a few minutes ago. Dayton announces today they've locked up Archie Miller through 2022. You buying it?
If one of those big
dominoes falls, is he out the door?
Well, I mean, again, where's the big job that he wants? Because in most of these deals, they're lucrative, they're long-term, but you can get out of them. Same thing as the offer thing that we were talking about, especially an 8 or 9 or 10 year. Nobody's sticking around for 8 or 9 or 10 years on the same contract. They're always going to rework the deal or look to go somewhere else. But Archie Miller's done such a fantastic job at Dayton over the last couple of seasons, and that team was injured and depleted. So, yeah, that's a big commitment. I mean, I'll give you another classic example of this. Leonard Hamilton, who's now at Florida State, had done a phenomenal job at Miami to resurrect their basketball program, made them into an NCAA tournament team, got them into a Sweet 16. I remember, I think he was a finalist for the Naismith Coach of the Year, I think. He was a finalist that year at the Final Four, and I remember being around him at the Final Four, and he agreed to a new 10-year deal at the University of Miami. The next week, Michael Jordan had come calling with the Washington Wizards, and Leonard Hamilton left Miami to go to the NBA. So the Washington Wizards. The next week. Of course, when MJ calls, Chris Stewart, you got to take the call. But I'm just citing examples, and that's an older one, citing examples of just be careful about all these contract extensions and how long somebody's going to stick around. The ink wasn't dry for Leonard Hamilton before he was in Washington, D.C.
I'm sure you'll be breaking it all down on Fox Sports Radio this weekend.
Yes, sir. We will talk about that. Guess. Check out the TuneIn Radio app and TuneIn.com for those shows that are going on this weekend, because we've got much discussed. I didn't sense from you if you've gone out there and said Kentucky rubber stamp win 37-0 tonight against West Virginia. Are you on the record?
Yeah, they win because they're not going to lose.
You're not going to lose at all.
Now they. Here's the thing. I am not of the opinion that nobody can beat them. because we've seen in the SEC, you know, shots in
of
the
course.
Air
yes.
to beat them a couple of times by lesser teams than what they will face over the course of the next 2 weeks, obviously. I'm saying they just won't.
You think they've got it in the bag?
I think to put it in terms they know well on the bluegrass, he knows how to crack the whip on it, and they will be tough to catch down the home stretch.
Well, let's see. Tonight continues uncharted territory. Nobody's been 37-0 in major college basketball, so that's what's at stake tonight. And there only becomes more drama and more intrigue and history book ready to be written one way or the other. I mean, can you imagine the players, not only on Kentucky's team, but the players on the other team, if they can get the win against Kentucky? You live off that the rest of your life. Forget
no
about
question.
Your basketball career. If you're part of a team, West Virginia tonight, whomever this weekend, or at the Final Four that beats this Kentucky team, you are living off that for the rest of your life. So that's what's in the offing here. Let's see what happens, my friend. I'm with you. Let's throw the ball up. Let's go.
And the buzz that will go through the other three regions will be unbelievable, because suddenly it looks like a brand new tournament
at
that point. TJ, thanks. Always appreciate the time, man. We'll listen to you this weekend.
Thank you, my friend.